Choftes Av, Monday, 29th of August, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Nedovet Hashem.
All right, welcome back to the normal procedures. I understand there's been a holiday sessions up to now, and we can one can perhaps paraphrase it, we're moving from Kalas to Chamuras. We are going to look at a topic which will become very relevant tomorrow night, when the vast majority of us will be saying a Mizmor L'Dovei Hashem Uri V'Yishi, and we will be saying that, most of us will be saying that until Shemini Atzeres. And what we're going to look at is the different Minhagim and the Makoros and how it all came about and the reasons for doing it. On the sheet in front of you, you'll see there's four major sections. The first section is, what is the makor for saying David Hashem early altogether? Are there any more left? No. Sorry, that's it. The makor is not as ancient as you might think. There are many minhagim which have developed through the ages. From Chazal, many come from many parts of the Torah come from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Most of it comes from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. But from time to time, certain extras have been included, such as Avarachamim, because of all the oppressions, and such as Lechor Dodi, which is a remarkable institution because it came in Tzfas only about 500 years ago. And it has gone everywhere around the world. There's not a single place that I'm aware of that doesn't say L'chor Dodi nowadays, although there are different minhagim as to where you say it from. Because the shit of the Gaon is you can't add anything to the tefillah from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you're not allowed to add anything new. But L'chor Dodi was so powerful that they decided to add it in, but they wouldn't say it from the Omud, they'd have to say it from a different place. And that's why you find in many places the L'chor Dodi is said from a different part of the shul, and people walk down afterwards for Baruch Hu. Well, we're not going into that at the moment, the different minhagim there, but there are definitely reasons why that should be. Now, the David Oiri was not quite as widespread as the L'chor Dodi. In fact, the David Oiri came in later even than L'chor Dodi. People don't realize this. They think it goes right back to Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Rambam. It wasn't even in Tzfas. It only came in about 300 years ago, and the Makor is mentioned in the sheet in front of you. And there are many places which still don't say it. The Talmidei Agro don't say it. The Kehillah of Frankfurt don't say L'David Hashem Erevish, and I believe that the Rabbi monks, they don't say it in the normal way. Is that correct? Yeah. We do say it? Where do you say it? It is said. It is said after Shishyam. Yeah. Oh, all right. Pardon? They don't say it in Ma'ariv? Oh no, we're talking now where they said all together. Frankfurt Minug was not to say it. The Shitzer Groh was not to say it. He held you cannot add in new items. And in fact, it's not only among the Yekas and the Litvisha, even among the Hasidim, there were certain Rebbes who objected to it. And I've mentioned them here, the Chozer Melublin, and there were one or two other places. Who did not, the Devar Chaim, the Tanzarov, they did not say L'David Hashem Oiri, because they said you cannot add things onto the tefillah. Not because the tefillah should not become too long and people would walk out in the middle. That's the main reason was because the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set the tefillah, we've got it, and you can't just add on bits and pieces yourself. However, the vast majority of places, all the Sfaradim, and majority of Ashkenazim do say L'David Hashem Oiri. Now, when they say it, however, there are different minhagim. Most places say it at the very end of the davening. They say it after the Shir Shalom, as Shimon just mentioned. That was our minhag in Sunderland. We said it after the Shir Shalom. And you have the interesting Shaila, what happens when the L'David Hashem Oiri and Baruch Hinafshi clash, which comes first. Because in fact, the halach is you say Boruchi Nafshi first, even though you, over the period of the year, you will say Boruchi Nafshi fewer times than the Dovid HaShemuri. And then if you apply the principle of Todir V'She'eno Todir, you would have thought the Dovid HaShemuri should take precedence, because you say that from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Simchas Torah twice a day, add up the number of times, that's 70 odd times, whereas Baruch HaNafshi you're only going to say about 20 times in total. So you would have thought that Dovid Hashem Oli is more Todeh. No, it's not the case. Todeh doesn't only go by the number of times you say it, it goes by the spread. And since Baruch HaNafshi is said every single month, it has precedence over Ledovid Hashem when they will clash on Wednesday and on Thursday this week when we have Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday and Wednesday this week you will have both Baruch HaNafshi and Ledovid Oli. Sorry? Absolutely right. Yes, quite right. There's no minig to start on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. I'm not aware of such a minig. Thank you for keeping alert. This, as they say in the teaching profession, just testing, make sure everyone's alert. In fact, you're quite right, it won't be, it'll be tomorrow night we start, right? Which is the night of... Wednesday night. Rosh Chodesh is Tuesday, so Tuesday night... No. Let's get this on. Wednesday night we will start. Tuesday night. Hang on, when's Rosh Chodesh? Alright, that's right. So what are we on about? Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Right, so therefore tonight we won't say it. We'll say it on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning we'll blow the shofar. Is that right? Oh, thank you. What did you say? Okay, right, I'm saying that we're coming to that. There's a shaila. We say in Shacharis, everybody says in Shacharis, everybody who says it in Shacharis, but not everybody in the same place. You'll find, if you go to Hagas, you'll find it said before Kaddish Tiskabel at Mincha, and before the Khatzi Kaddish in Shacharis. But that, even that's not the universal Minhag, because there are places when there's Kriyas HaTorah, such as on... Let's get this right. On the second issue on Wednesday and on Thursday, they will actually say the Dovid Hashem Oli just before they will say it before the Hotzos Sefer Torah. They will say it there rather than at the where the Chassidim say it before Kaddish and also. At the end of the davening. So there are all sorts of different minhagim as to where to insert it, and all these minhagim depend on the reason why we say Ledovid Hashem Oli, which we haven't touched yet. We know we say it because it's been instituted, and the fact we said it's not halach and shulchan aruch, it's a minhag, but it's a minhag which is taken on in Klal Yisrael, and once the minhag takes on in Klal Yisrael, it gets sanctioned, so to speak, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we stick with it, and it has the force of really of halacha, and therefore anybody who decides who has the minig not to say the Dovid Hashem Oli is actually breaking a din, because if your parents said it and the minig of the place is to say it, you must say it too. The question is where to say it and when to say it, that depends on the tamim. Shimon's also mentioned there's a different minhagim whether it's said at mincha or ma'ariv. Our minig Ashkenazim is litis to say after ma'ariv, and the minig of the Chassidim is to say at mincha. You have a very similar machlokas, dichotomy of minhagim in connection in the Beis HaOvel. In the Beis HaOvel, our minig is to say the Lam Natzeach or the Michtel Nadovit after ma'ariv. However, the Chassidim will say it after Mincha and not after Ma'ariv. And just to show you that there's no complete simple argument, there are shitters which say you say it after both Mincha and Ma'ariv. There is such a shitter as well. We don't see it often, but there is such a shitter. Right. Now what we need to know is what is the force behind this Minhag, and from there we can see how it will affect the Mokum and when we say it. Now, there altogether I've found five basic svaras and reasons why it should be said, and I've set them out here briefly. First, when it was first introduced, it was introduced for the purpose of what's called Segulas Tehillim. Segulas Tehillim is that David HaMelech said the Tehillim, and we know how holy the Tehillim are, that taken on in Klal Yisrael, and that some people say Tehillim every day, some people finish the whole of Tehillim every month, and there is certainly is a minig during the time from the blowing the shofar at the beginning of Elul, there's a minig to finish the whole of Tehillim by Yom Kippur. We have this minig in Sanhedrin Beis HaMedrash, that every single day, five kapitlach of Tehillim were said, and when it came to Kuf Yud Tes, there was a little bit of an argument as to how you divide it up, etc. But they made sure that they finished the whole of Tehillim on Yom Kippur night. I'm going to say the whole Tehillim. The last part of Tehillim was said on Yom Kippur night, so that the Tzibur finished the whole of Tehillim in the period starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. So because of this so-called Segulas Tehillim, which is a Kabbalistic idea really, and it was introduced first, the first person to introduce it was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Vital, who was himself a Talmud of the Arizal. So we know when the Arizal lived, and all the great people in Tzfas, the Beis Yosef, and the Mabit, and the Rab Shmuel Hedni, and all the great Gedolim in the golden era of Tzfas, they continued on with Rab Chaim Vital, who wrote the Ksovim of the Arizal, but this was a Talmud of the Rabbi Chaim Vital, and it came in the about the year 1706, something like that, and that's when it was first introduced, the purpose being, it's a jolly good thing to do. Now in fact, the Chidor, who praises this minig up to the sky, says that if he had his way, it would be said every single day of the year, and there are certain Sephardim who actually will say L'David Ori every single day of the year. That's not our minig, but because from Rosh Chodesh Elul onwards it has this special significance, the whole of Klal Yisrael has taken on this minig of saying it during that time. So that's the first reason, is because it's a powerful assistance to us, and it's mentioned that it will be mevatel gezeiros koshers, all the usual Kabbalistic brochas which you get for doing the right thing. So that's the first reason. Now, according to that reason, it would make sense to say it from Rosh Chodesh Elul onwards until the period of Teshuvah is over. And that would be Hoshana Rabba. Or in Chutz La'aretz, perhaps Shemini Atzeres. We'll come to that difference in a minute if we've got time. But basically, this would be the period starting from Rosh Chodesh. The whole of Elul would be suitable for this particular segula, and that's what is mentioned there. The second reason for saying this is mentioned in the Elef Lamater. It's the one which most people know best. They know there's a medrash which talks about the David Hashem. Ori v'yishi, Ori is a Rosh Hashanah, Ori is the light of Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi refers to Yom Kippur. The reason why Yishi refers to Yom Kippur is very simple. If you know your Hebrew, you'll know the various words for salvation. There's a word of Hatzalah, there's Ezra, there are all sorts of different words to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come to help. Ezri Be'em Hashem, and we've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Matzil, etc. However, the Malbim is Magadir, he sets out that the word Yeshua is different from the other words. Yeshua is a situation when you're in a completely helpless situation. So if we could take an example, let's say there was a shul in Golders Green Road, and next to that shul there's a road, Golders Green Road, and all of a sudden a whole pack of lions starts running down that road. Now, anybody in the road is going to be scared out of their wits. You know, you haven't got any guns to shoot them, and they're on the rampage. You've got a problem. Now, Hatzalah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes those lions miss the shul and just go further. They could have jumped into the shul, but Hatzalah, he diverted them somewhere else. Ezra is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you some people to help you to get rid of the lions. He'll send you a bunch of lion tamers. And between you and the lion tamers, you will get rid of the lions. That's Ezra. Yeshua, however, is where the lions have come into the shul, and they're on top of us. then you've got absolutely no way possible of getting out of the problem without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. Yeshua Hashem Ke'erefayin. That's Yeshua. And Yom Kippur is Yeshua, because we've got no chance without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim. That's why it's called Yom Rachamim. That's why it's Yeshua. But it's not Yeshua, it's Yesha. There's a difference between Yesha and Yeshua. Just like there's a difference between Ezra and Ezra. The difference is this. The masculine form is stronger than the feminine form. Yeshua is the Yeshua we all need. But Yesha is where it's come with a big, big punch. Yesha is much stronger. Like Ezra is different from Ezra. Ezra, God's word gives you a hand. Ezra, he gives you a really good hand. And that's why the wife is called Ezra Kenegdo, not Ezra. You might have asked why she should have been an Ezra. She's a lady, isn't she? Yet the Torah calls her an Ezra, not an Ezra. Because a good wife is stronger than you might think. That's why the Torah called it Ezra, not Ezra. And it's the same thing here. David Oli V'Yishi, not Yeshuasi, it's called Yishi, because Yishi means complete salvation. There's much more than just a simple Yeshua. So that's why it's Yom Kippur. And on that, that's the Medrash. The Medrash says, Ki it's B'neini B'suko. B'suko refers to Sukkos. Now, if this is the reason for the L'David Hashem Erev Yishi, it makes sense. According to certain minhagim, you only say it from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That was, there is such a minhag. Only to say L'David Hashem Erev Yishi from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur fits in with the Medrash, Erev Yishi. However, if you add on to the Medrash Ki Yitz B'neini B'suko, we now bring in Sukkos. So we've got now Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Sukkos. We haven't got Elul yet. According to this minhag, Elul wouldn't apply, because we've only got the Medrash which says Ori is Rosh Hashanah, Yishi is Yom Kippur, and then you've got Sukkot, which would be Sukkot. However, there are drushim also which would say that that it would apply to the whole period. So this would, if you said Sukkot, it should really stop at Hashanah Rabbah. Because Shemini Atzeres is different. According to this Darush, it would stop at Hashanah Rabbah, and in Eretz Yisrael, they do stop at Hashanah Rabbah. The question is, in Chutz La'aretz, Shemini Atzeres is Sveika D'Yoma. And therefore, we can say on Shemini Atzeres too. But the problem then arises, is that Tati D'Sashi. You're not allowed to sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres if it looks as though you're being Moisif. You're not allowed to take the lulav on Shemini Atzeres, because that's definitely against the thing. However, the halach is, for the, certainly the Litvisha, we do sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Why? Because it's not nikah that you actually been mekayim in the midst of the sukkah. Some say that you're not allowed to sleep in the sukkah, because sleeping in the sukkah in the cold weather shows you're doing a davka, because you'd never sleep in the sukkah if it weren't sukkahs. So some people have the minhag, which is in fact our minhag, that we sleep in the sukkah for sukkahs, and we eat in the sukkah for sukkahs, but when it comes to Shemini Atzeres, we eat in the Shemini Atzeres, but we don't sleep in the sukkah of Shemini Atzeres. The Vilna Gaon disagreed with that. He said you've got to sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres as well. There are all sorts of different days. But applying those principles, if you say that L'David only has to finish at the end of the tshuva period, then you would have a suffix as to whether by saying it mefurish on Shemini Atzeres, is that showing that you're still keeping sukkahs, because you're saying a sukkah stick in it? Or would you say, no, you will often say Tehillim. The Kiddush says you should say it every day. So by saying a capital of Tehillim, you're not showing that this is no longer, that this is not Shemini Atzeres. So that's the Shaila. Most people hold that you can sit on Shemini Atzeres, and that's our minhag. But we don't sit on Simchas Torah, because the Tshuva period is over by that time. Although there are people who still sit on Simchas Torah too, because it's all part of this sort of from Elul to the end of Sukkot period. Now, there are also other Ramazim to include Sukkot. I said while we're on, I just mentioned, I saw this in Abshimon Hershler's Sefer. He brought a beautiful Sefer out on different things. And he said, mind you, with no trick, and you've got to remember you can do absolutely anything, but it doesn't matter. He says, Beshivti is osius by Sukkot Teshu Shivas Yomim. The word Beshivti is, the letters make the Rashi Tevas of Basukkot Teshu Shivas Yomim. So, that, I mean, I'm sure you can make a lot of other things too. But it's a remez for Sukkot also is included in this particular drush. And similarly, he makes another one. Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem is Roshei Tevus, achilo shesio yoshein and mutayel. It's a bit forced, but it's still the four things which you have to do in the sukkah. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to sleep, and you have to be mutayel, the Gemara says. You should be passing your time there. And those four letters are the first four letters of Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem. A little bit Hasidish, but at the same time, it is another remez that you can that sukkah is also included in this particular mitzvah of saying L'David Hashemai. That's that explanation. The Torah Tanimah asked a strong kasha. He says, "What on earth did give you the idea you can learn from this medrash to say L'David only during this period? If you look at the medrash, you'll see, and from the psukim, it's quite clear that the David was talking about Pesach. He wasn't talking about Sukkot. He wasn't talking about Rosh Hashanah at all. So he has a big kasha. How is it that we decided to say it at the wrong time?" Then he goes on to say, there's a machlokis tanoim in the medrash, and we go like the other tana, and therefore everything is all right. It's a very fascinating discussion, but if you're basing yourself on the medrash, you're basing yourself on the tana who holds it goes on this period of time. You should know that on each of these reasons we're giving, there's always a pircha, but ein mishivin al adrush. So each one gives his reason, and you can find kashas on the reasons, but the maisa, it's there. The third explanation as to why we should want to say L'David Hashem Oiri, I think I'm going to jump in the order here because I want to finish off with that reason, because I think that's the best reason. Let's move to the fourth one on my list. That's because you've got one single word in Tanakh. There's only one single word in the whole of Tanakh which has got dots underneath the letter as well as on top. There are many places which have got dots on top of letters. For example, in Tzovim, we've got Hanistar slash Emelokeinu. We know there's a dot on Aaron. We know in the beginning of Chumash, you've got over Kumo, there's a dot on top of it. You've got Elov. There's many, many places throughout Tanakh with dots on top. But there's only a single word in the whole of Tanakh which has got dots underneath. Anybody know which one it is? Which one? Well, it's there in front of you, yeah. It's Luleh. The Pasuk Luleh. Now, there's a whole discussion of where these dots are. We haven't got time to go into the details. They're all Marshaw, and there's different Gishoras. But it's clear that there are dots underneath this letter. Now, when you have dots on top of a word, it tells you various lessons, and basically you've got to change the position of the word. That's what a dot on top does. Some say you've got to leave it out, some say you've got to emphasize it, like a little dot to draw attention to it. There's all sorts of pshatim in these nakudas. But nobody discusses what is the extra dimension of having a dot underneath. So I came up with the chiddush. It's got to be something different from all the dots on top. Why should this be? It can only be one thing. You've got to read it backwards. Read Lule backwards. You've got Elu. That's what the dots are doing. Read it backwards. That's a remez. David gave a remez that this is to be said in Elu. And Moses to suggest that Elul also read backwards gives you the words lo, lo. Elul is a time when you should stop thinking of yourself so much. You think of your ruchnius. But when it comes to gashmius, lo, lo. Forget yourself. Think of your other person. The whole idea of Elul is to be moser nefesh for Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can do that best by thinking of the other person. Lo, lo. This is not a time when you've got to think of your own gashmius. Lo, lo. Think of somebody else instead. That's what Elul is all about. You want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to give you a vitur, to give you rachamim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Prepare yourself now by thinking of what other people might need and improve. We can all improve in that respect. So Elul backwards is lo, lo. That means you've got to do things for other people. Therefore, it came about that this is a beautiful time to start saying L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, and this would therefore give the makor for saying it at the beginning of Elul, not at Rosh Hashanah. The other minhag would be from the Medrash, would only start at Rosh Hashanah. But this would tell you clearly, you started out. And when do you finish? Well, it's logical, you go on until the appropriate time to finish. You have the same shilas when you stop dipping your bread in the honey. Our minhag is the bread and honey right at the end of Simchas Torah. But there are people who stop at Hashanah Rabbah, and there are people who stop at Shemini Atzeres. There's different minhagim. So it could be that once you've started at the beginning of Elul, there's no reason to stop until the end of Simchas Torah. That would be a very interesting reason why we should do it. And we know all the different Ramazim throughout the place which represent Elul throughout Tanakh. We've got Anila Dodi Vododi Li, Eslevov Eslevov Zerach. I've written down the basic ones, but they basically teach us that you've got to have Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. This is all where Elul comes into the picture. The next answer is that the Dovid Hashem Ori represents the Yud Gimel Midas. Yud Gimel Midas, that is because the Bali Kabbalists say that when Elul opens, Rosh Chodesh Elul comes, all of a sudden the Hashbor, so to speak, the spiritual apertures are suddenly opened. Now, if you ever go to Tzfas and get a religious guide, I went there once, they take you and they show you the Kvarim where the Arizal was buried, and they show you the Mikvos, and they point out, have a look, can you see some caves down there? You have a look, it's very difficult to see what they're talking about, but apparently there are caves. Oh, those are the 13 caves, you should know. When the guy said that, I nearly fell off my chair. What do you mean, these actually exist, these 13 caves? And they said, yes, have a look, you'll see 13 Ma'aras down the mountain. Well, it was impossible, I'm not very good at working these things out. But what I did chap was, you can see the Arizal found Yud Gimel Mechilos, or Yud Gimel Ma'aras, which are supposed to open up during this period. What do they represent? Obviously, they represent the Yud Gimel Midas. Hashem Hashem Kele Erech Hapan. Now, if you count up the number of times that the Hashem's name occurs in the Dovid Ayri, it occurs 13 times. There are 13 Shemas. So obviously, Dovid HaMelech wrote this particular mizmor with having the Yud Gimel Midas in mind. And the 13th Pasuk is where Elul occurs. Lulei Amanti is the 13th Pasuk. So all those together give you the message that you should be saying your Dovid Ori at a time when we need the Yud Gimel Midas. And this explains the minhag of people who say this mizmor not at the end of davening and not before Kaddish Kabbal, where they say the Kriyas HaTorah, because Kriyas HaTorah is when they say the Yud Gimel Midas. So therefore, the Yud Gimel Midas therefore are appropriate time for saying the Dovid Ori, and that's where that minute comes from. So again, you see, the different reasons give you a time for the minhag. It's not our minhag, but that is a minhag of certain Hasidim, that I think a Ma'arich mentions it, because of the Yud Gimel Midas. Now the final reason, which I think is perhaps the best, is based on the following question. If we wanted to say a mizmor to remind us that we should be getting ready for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which mizmor would you be the obvious one to choose? And the answer to me is obvious. You choose Mizmor Nun Aleph, which is known as the Mizmor HaTshuva, where Dovid HaMelech cries to Hashem and wants, please forgive me for the sin. He talks about how always his sin is in front of him and he's always doing tshuva. That's where we learn how to do tshuva properly. So surely it should be that Mizmor. Why did they choose the Dovid Hashem Ori? Well, you could say because of the other reasons which were given, but there's a better reason. It's this. Do we want to be b'di'eved d'kiyidin, to go to Hashem always asking for forgiveness of what we do? Or do we want to be good people in the first place? Which is a better sort of child? A child who gets up to all sorts of mischief, gets a few smacks and asks for forgiveness? Or a child who never got into mischief in the first place? It's called the difference between curative and preventative medicine. Curative medicine is very good if chas v'shalom somebody hurts himself, then you've got to put it right. But if you can have preventative medicine, if you can diet beforehand, if you can take the right sort of behavior in life so you don't get yourself into a problem, surely that's far better. Preventative medicine, everybody agrees, is better than curative medicine. Teshuvah is curative medicine. Teshuvah is when you've gone wrong, you've got to put it right. How do we do preventative medicine? Preventative medicine is to learn the Torah. To learn Torah every day. To follow Chachomim. To be in shul. To be in the right places. Then you won't get into mischief. You won't need to do so much. You're always going to do a certain amount of teshuvah. And I don't say that you can't get into mischief in the shul either. There's plenty of things we can do wrong in the shul. You know, if you start fighting about the windows, that's the sort problem gets involved. And you start arguing about who's got the right to have Kaddish, and who should get the right to Aliyah, and you start criticising the rule. There's plenty that goes wrong in the shul too, don't get me wrong. But at least if you're in the shul, you're in a Mokum Kaddish, and you're in a Shia, that's surely better. Now, therefore, what's the difference between the two Mizmorim? Let the Mizmor Nun Aleph is the Mizmor Tshuva. David got it wrong and he wants to put it right. But the David Hashem Ori is actually preventative medicine. Achaz Shoalti Me'es Hashem Oso Avakesh. There's one thing I want. The Sheilam, the Bikush. The Sheilam is what he says. The Bikush is what he really wants internally. That's the same thing with David. He didn't say he wants one thing because he wanted to be a big Melech, or he wanted to be called the Great Rav. Achaz Shoalti, I only want to learn the Torah. Lachzos benoyam Hashem, to sit in the munificence of Hashem, in the pleasure of Hashem. Levaker beichola. Rashi quotes Dunish. Levakim is called boiker u boiker. Every single morning, boiker used to come to the Beis Hamedrash. And this is a very, very interesting question. If you look through the whole of the Mizmor, there's only one letter of the alphabet which does not appear in this Mizmor. You know which one it is? You must have heard it before. There's only one thing that's not the usual Tess or the Samach, which often gets lost. It's a letter which usually does occur, and it's not in the whole Mizmor. Nobody knows it? Which one? Well, it's in front of you, yeah. The letter Gimel. The letter Gimel, well, at least you've got the common sense to look at the page. The letter Gimel is missing. Why should that be? So the idea is, I think it's like this. Gimel is first a Gemilas Chesed. The Gemara in Abayna says, Aleph Bino, first of all learn Torah. Then Gemal Chesed. Don't run around doing Chesed before you've learned Torah. And that's why in the yeshivas, the Litvish yeshivas, they make you sit and learn Torah, and they don't send you out on escapades to Chesed to everybody. You have to learn Torah first, because if you don't learn Torah, the Chesed won't work. It won't be proper Chesed. There's a lot of riots for that. People get the Chesed wrong. First of all, understand the Torah concept of what is Chesed. It's the rule book. First of all, learn the rules. You can't drive the car until you learn the rules. You can't go around doing Chesed until you know what's included in Chesed. Therefore, Aleph Beis is Aleph Bino, then Gemal Chesed. David HaMelech was worried. If I run around all day doing Chesed, which he had to do, the Gemara in Brachos tells us how busy he was from morning to night, helping people and passing shas, doing all sorts of things. David says, if I will go straight into Gemilas Chesed, I'll never understand, I'll never have the chance to learn, I'll never be able to do the Achaz Shoalti, I've got to make Gedorim. And therefore he said, call Boiker a Boiker, before I'm going to lock myself up in the Beis HaMikdosh, and I'm going to learn first, and then will come the Gemilas Chesed. And although we have a halacha that Osef Mitzvah is not possible in a mitzvah, if you're learning Torah, you've got to stop and do the mitzvah, in this situation, the necessity to learn overrides it. And if you want to speak to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky or Rabbi Yashiv, you'll find there are certain times you cannot approach them. Why not? Either Chayv Chesed, Chayv and Mitzvahs. Why can't you approach them at any time? They've got a mitzvah to do. They should shut their gemaras and do the chesed. There's so much chesed they can do. And if they were to shut their gemaras, they wouldn't be Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. They wouldn't be Rabbi Eliashiv. They have to have a special time set aside for their learning where you can't interfere with the chesed. That's why this mizmor, David HaMelech, left out the gimel. There's a time when you've got to learn. You've got to go to the shir. You've got to do your daf yom. You've got to do your kvias. And during that time, you're not going to be disturbed by anything. And that is the recipe for getting the chesed right afterwards, for getting the bracha. So this particular mizmor, the David Hashem, is in order that we should have the correct approach, that this should be our whole life. And that's why it was chosen to be the mizmor, which you're going to say. And the last thing I say, that's why this mizmor does not say mizmor le David. It doesn't say lam natzeach le David. It doesn't say le David mizmor. It doesn't say lam natzeach ben Guinness. It simply says le David. Le David Hashem Erevishi. This is it. David's whole essence, without the necessity for music, not any outside influences. This is David. David says, Torah, Achaz Shoalti, that is what David represents. And that's what we've got to emulate during these coming days of Elul. We've got to be like David, the Hashem, Eri V'Yishi.